You're listening to California Dreaming with your hosts, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
And good morning to you. Welcome to the Sam and Manu Show. Good morning, Manu.
Oh, you want me to say good morning now?
Very nice. Okay. All right. It's that kind of a day. That's how we get started.
No, I'm just confused. Like, yeah. Okay. Well, what do I say?
I know. No, because
call the numbers.
I thought better about it, so.
Call the numbers, Sam.
Excuse me already. Do give us a call. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things today. We're going to have a guest again. And we'd like you guys to give us a call. It'd be fun. We can talk. You can talk about the things that we discuss or anything at all. Our toll-free number, 1-866-515-6977. And outside the U.S., it's 323-284-2554. And don't forget our lineup for today. After we go off the air, then we get TJ at 12 o'clock with his very funny show, one-man show. And then we have, of course, Johnny Dam. He'll probably bring Merrill with him. And they always have a blast here. You know, they got a good banter going. And so we're happy to have all those people. Tomorrow, Thursday, we're going to have Greg Rempe with his Barbecue Central show at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern time. And right following that, at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Broad Topics. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. You've got to remind me these things.
Well, shit, I didn't even know myself. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, where's your mind? What kind of a woman are you? Every woman knows it's Valentine's
Day
tomorrow.
Nah, man, I've never been in that shit and never will.
Really?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, I think it's a whole bunch of bull.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it creates like heartbroken expectations, really, is what the whole deal comes down to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It does. And you know, I mean, it's pretty irritating when you're expected to bring something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but regardless, I think the Broad Topics are going to talk about that. you know, so we'll let them. I'm curious to see what they have to say for women about Valentine's
Day.
So
it's tomorrow,
yeah,
right?
It's tomorrow, the 14th
oh.
of February.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I'm baffled again with what kind of gift to get. And because I'm just that kind of a guy, you know. No, you know, I always forget holidays, birthdays, Valentine's Day. So I think I'm going to change this year.
I say,
you know?
I don't see why not just get flowers. You
yeah.
know, like a really nice
no,
bouquet of flowers.
I will, but tomorrow to buy flowers is crazy. Because
right.
everybody buys flowers, they double the price.
Hey, no. Why don't you just go down?
Uh-huh.
We've got the markets today.
Yeah.
So just go down there, and they have like fabulous bouquet of flowers.
Really?
Like absolutely adorable.
Good. Now let's just hope that I remember this, because my memory sucks. It really does.
No, that's all I can suggest is flowers.
Yeah.
No, I think, you know what?
No, I think I'm going to do something more special.
No, honestly, I think there are, like, the one most important day to remember is your birthday.
Right.
You know, I think that's an important
time. I guess
your
own birthday, yeah.
Well, yeah, your own birthday and someone else's birthday, obviously, your wife's birthday or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, these things you
Because you are celebrating another year of your life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, and then the other one that I think that should be memorable or never forgotten is your anniversary.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
You know, but every other day, every you know, like New Year's, Christmas,
yeah.
bloody
well,
Valentine's
things,
and all that. I mean, they're
forget.
they're just a bunch of bull.
Yeah.
It's basically consumerism. Look at what Christmas is nowadays. It's all about consumerism. It's not even about, you know, the true meaning of what Christmas is supposed to be, the birth of Christ.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
There's nothing is out there representing that at all.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know.
And it's all buy, and everyone's got this expectation, like, oh, wonder what kind of present I'm going to get and how much is it worth.
Well,
and then it puts stress on other people, like if they want to go ahead and, you know, buy presents for their friends and family, they're under, you know, stress about how much money they're going to have to pay for presents, and, you know, is this a cheapskate kind of present, yeah. or, well, you know what I mean? That kind of stuff. It's ridiculous.
Those are the side effects, you know. I mean, the thing is, people like it. I think it's nice, you know, where people give presents to each other and receive presents. It's nice. But, you know, once, twice a year is reasonable.
Yeah.
But you start going into every holiday, and it's...
Well, here it's presents. Every holiday now.
Yeah.
Every single holiday.
Oh, yeah.
How many
like
holidays
presents.
We got? And where it's involving people going out and buying presents ridiculously. Yeah. You know, you've got all these super sales. What about, you got Thanksgiving. Is it the day after that they have that big sale or something like that?
Uh-huh, right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now they've got stores that are opening up at midnight and 4 a.m. in the morning, and people just lining up ridiculously, you know?
People love to buy things in this country. There's no doubt about it. We've become very materialistic. But I'm
no
sure
kidding.
That's no news to anybody, you know?
No. I was in shock when I first came here. My first experience was up in Seattle. You know, like all this, I mean, it was so glamorized. Mm-hmm. Christmas was glamorized, and I had just arrived in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, what is this?
Yeah, it's just beautiful. I mean, the atmosphere in the air, you know, you just feel the, I don't know, I love the holiday season, you know.
Yeah.
It's just different, you know. And then when it's over, the day after New Year's, it's just such a letdown, you know, and it's so depressing because everybody takes down their lights and throws away the trees and, you know, so, but...
I never celebrated Christmas this year.
No,
it's not. It was a dinner. I had a dinner over at my neighbor's place, and that was Christmas. And you know, that was fabulous.
Yeah,
it was absolutely
it's
fabulous.
Cool. I mean, whatever turns you on, you know, it doesn't have to be like the traditional or the standard type of a holiday.
You know how I grew up with Christmas, going down to the bamboo. Bushes, cutting a piece of the young bamboo because it has more leaf and it's more green and everything.
Yeah,
so we used to cut off that piece of bamboo and that was our Christmas tree. that's talk about the outback Bushman's Christmas tree.
Yeah, Christmas bamboozle.
So that was our Christmas tree.
Wow.
Yeah, we stopped having Christmas when I was probably 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah,
no more bamboo cut down.
Oh.
So it was like, I think my mother started running around. You can all go get fucked now. Something like that. She had done a turning point by then. She'd had enough.
Yeah, Obama. Obama is.
Oh, I heard.
Do you believe this? He won 8 states in a row right now.
Yes, I heard.
So I think by now we know who the candidates are going to be for presidency.
I think so.
You know,
yeah.
I think Hillary just lost it. She's hanging her hopes on Texas and Ohio, which are, you know, they have a lot of delegates in those states.
Right.
But it remains to be seen. I think she lost.
McCain won as well, didn't he?
Yeah. McCain is
a
shoo-in now. I mean, he's the candidate for the Republicans.
So in the end, it looks like it's going to be Obama and McCain, correct?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
At this point, I think it's decided already. And, of course, I'm disappointed. You know, I wanted Hillary, and I voted for her. And but I'm 0-2. I mean, I should never predict anything because when the campaigning started, I predicted Hillary and Giuliani would be the final candidates. But obviously with Giuliani, I missed big time, and now Hillary is probably not going to win either. So I'm not making any more predictions. I suck with that.
Same with
no
your buys.
For me,
Same with your buys with Google. No. What were the stock buys that you did?
Yeah, it was Google.
Was it Google?
Yeah.
And that was a lousy prediction.
Well, no, it was great. It's just, I mean, you can't predict what's going to happen.
It just went down.
Yeah, it went real, real way up, and then it went
down.
So, you know, I mean, that's just our economy right now.
Well, here's some gossip. The Hilton family seems to be having a traditional thing going on with DUIs. Did you hear her younger brother, Baron, got pulled over for DUI, got arrested, got taken to jail?
Really? Where?
Yeah.
Here in L.A.?
Here in L.A.
Really?
Yeah. And so apparently her younger brother called her to bail him out of jail. And she said, sorry, bro, I'm going to Las Vegas.
Really? So she didn't have time to go to jail.
So there were pictures of her last night partying it up in Las Vegas while Baron was being bailed out by someone else.
Yeah. Well, what about the parents? How come the parents weren't doing anything?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. They're probably too consumed in their own lives, which is why these two go rank.
Yeah. But, I mean, these people are out of control, that family.
I know.
You know? Yeah. But, you know, going back to Obama for a second, you know, now we really have to think about, you know, having a black president, you know, and that's going to be unprecedented, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it would be good for the country. I think it would create a lot of healing because there's a lot of still underlying resentment between whites and blacks and other races. And I think it's time they got a good representation, too. Not that Hillary did not or would not represent the blacks well, but I think once they have someone up there, maybe they'll start being convinced that we can treat them as equals if only they choose to be treated that way.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know, the new Prime Minister of Australia, Kevin Rudd, when he came into, became Prime Minister, one of his things was he wanted to apologize to all of Australia, to all of Australia's indigenous people, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders.
Right.
A couple of days ago, he did officially made a national televised apology to all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders. And you find it up on the web. And his apology was amazing. Yeah. And it was really powerful. And it was really cool. It was so cool to hear him, the very first prime minister since, you know, all these years. He's the only one that ever stood up and made an official apology to the Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islanders.
Yeah.
And I'd like to, you know, I wonder if that will ever happen here, for the Native American and, of course, the African Americans.
Yeah, there's been apologies being made, but... you know, I don't know that a president is going to come up and say, you know, we regret everything that happened and so forth. But no, I think Obama succeeded with his change campaign.
Yeah.
And he's got a momentum, you know. And the thing is, when you have a momentum, it's hard to stop you.
No.
And now it just been becoming like a contagion where everybody is saying, wow, maybe we should consider it.
Let's follow on the trail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just do what everybody else does. So I think these elections, at least the primaries, have been decided. And now it remains to be seen whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans with McCain are going to take it. In Lebanon...
What's happening in Lebanon?
A terrorist, a major Hezbollah terrorist, he's a Hezbollah commander, involved or suspected at least in some of the deadliest terrorist attacks in the last 25 years, has been assassinated in Syria.
By who?
He died in an explosion.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the first ones they're blaming, who do you think?
America? No.
Israel.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, Israel's got the greatest motive to get rid of terrorists.
Okay.
Because they've done a lot of damage. Although at this point in time in history, it's totally possible the Americans did this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I have a feeling it's the Israelis. I really do.
You do?
Yeah. Because they always seem to deny when these things happen, and then later on you find out it was them.
You mean, are they denying it? They were involved?
Yeah, they're denying
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Israel's denying it.
It
doesn't look good when you assassinate anybody. It doesn't matter if it's a terrorist or not.
No.
So, but good riddance. Another one gone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's just like a multi-headed monster.
Yeah.
You know, you cut off one head and you have three growing, you know, instead in its place.
I mean, but that's okay. I think you said that perfectly, because you might kill one monster, but because he has so many followers, you've just turned his second hand man, so you know, like his right hand man, into the new leader, and even more furious. So I think it could be like a snowball effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. Well, who knows? You know, it's interesting to see how this develops. But I wouldn't put it beyond Israel to have done this. You know, the have you seen the movie Munich?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
So
yeah.
You see, I read the book that this was based on back in the 80s when it first came out. It was called Vengeance. The book was. And it told about a group of Israeli agents that were put together by Golda Meir, who was the prime minister at the time that the Munich attack happened, the terrorist attack. That was 1972, I believe. And, you know, 11 Israeli athletes were murdered that time. And it was a big deal, especially since the Olympics continued. The next day, like nothing happened.
I know, it was horrible.
You know, and that was in Germany, too, so it had a lot of, it brought back a lot of bad memories.
Yeah. It still gets talked about a lot, that film.
Yeah.
Or the event, anyways.
But yeah, the film was done in a way, it got a lot of criticism because it seemed to sympathize a lot with the terrorists as well, and people didn't like that. The book was not like that at all. The book told the story from the point of view of the leader of that group, of agents, and describing what they did. And this is like a real James Bond type of a thing, you know? I mean, this read better than any fiction book I ever read. And it was just amazing how they would target the terrorists that they felt were responsible or behind the attack in Europe. Most of them were in Europe. And they would hunt them down and kill them. And that was it was an amazing thing, you know. I mean, it's still controversial, because it's sort of like a state-sponsored assassination, but it had to be done. You know, you always have to deal with those terrorists, otherwise, if there's no consequences, they'll continue.
Yeah.
Although they continue anyway, it doesn't really seem much. It doesn't matter to them that much.
No, because they have a different frame of mind.
Yeah,
you know,
it's different.
I don't know, humanity in other countries is different from humanity in other places.
Yeah, yeah. And incidentally, they arrested three people in Denmark. The incident happened in Denmark, I'm not sure. They picked them up somewhere in Europe. But these are the people they feel were responsible or are responsible for a plot to kill the cartoonist that did the Muhammad cartoon.
That was in Denmark.
Yes. So if you remember, all the European papers published it as well because Muslims started crying foul. Because you're not in Islam, you're not supposed to depict Muhammad's likeness.
Right.
Yes. So and this, they felt, was a violation of that rule, and thus we need to kill him because that's how they solve everything, is with violence. And
oh my God.
Yeah, just like with Salman Rushdie back with the satanic verses, 20, 30 years ago, there was a contract on his head by the Ayatollah, and I think it's still in effect, actually. And so that's what these people do, is they put a prize on a person's head, and then people try to kill him so they can collect the prize, you know. And it's just amazing to me how these people, okay, these fundamentalists, Islamic extremists, try to shove their culture down our throat. And this is what's causing all this turmoil in the world. If almost everywhere you look, where there's contention, where there's violence, most likely you'll find extreme Muslims there.
Right.
Yeah. And this is, according to them, the religion of peace. So you figure that out.
Well, there's a lot I could say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess the world also always needs a bad guy. You know, we had the Germans. You know, then we had the Koreans, and of course the Soviets were the biggest enemies, and Cuba, and you know, all the communist countries as well, and then, you know, suddenly it's gone, you know.
I know. I wonder who's next.
Yeah.
I wonder who's next.
Yeah.
I know in Australia, the Islamic extremists tried to implement their religion and their ways in our country, in parts of our country, saying, right. You know, like with Christmas and, you know, it started coming out that they were being offended, you know, that religion was still being taught in the schools and you had to, you know, for your identification, you had to unveil your face and, yeah. you know, all that kind of stuff. That started occurring in Australia. And anyways, Kevin Rudd, our Prime Minister, when he came in, he said, no more. You came to this country. If you want to live here our way, you have to live here our way.
Yeah, well, that's a nice ideal, but it usually doesn't happen that way.
Well, you know, he just put the, you know, he says, if you don't want to conform to our way of lifestyle, why should we have to compromise our lifestyle, our beliefs, the way we've ran this country for the last couple of hundred years to suit you?
Yeah.
Well, you're the ones that came here. If you don't like it, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And he totally put it that way.
Yeah.
Get the hell out.
Yeah.
You got a ticket to come here, we'll give you a ticket to get out. Go back to your own country.
Yeah, well, you know, some people just feel that everybody needs to adopt their way of life.
Yeah.
And whoever doesn't. This religion was spread by the sword.
Right.
It started in Saudi Arabia, and then it started expanding throughout the Middle East, Northern Africa. And it was pretty much a bunch of guys on horses with swords. They'd go into villages. Whoever would not convert to Islam,
they got
chopped their heads off. Yes. And that's how it was spread. And amazingly, though, they had a golden age. Islam had a golden age where their culture, their education, their performance in business and in economy, mm-hmm. They were doing very well, and they brought a lot of wealth and economic success to the countries they were in.
Right.
But of course, then they got preoccupied with the Jews again. And by the way, during those times, Jews were treated very well by Muslims.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Believe it or not, there was a lot of cooperation between them. And then, of course, whatever is the demise of every country that has ever done this is that they started looking at the Jews and they're saying, they are our problem. And the moment you kick out the Jews, for some reason in history, your economy, your well-being of the country is not as good as it used to be.
Hmm.
And it's happened in many places.
I'm
not going to get into that. Maybe some other time. But just to get the point across,
it can become that.
It could be a great religion, but we have a lot of extremists that have taken over throughout the world, and that's what we get in return. We have to live in fear. We have to go through security at the airports. And I knew 9/11, that moment that it happened, that things were never going to be the same. You know, they had to take everybody out, and now we have to protect ourselves. So because of that day, now the whole world does things differently. You know, and
I think it was a way to start manipulating the country to go to the New World Order.
Yeah. Well, there's not going to be any.
No, I reckon
so. As long as we have the free world, we don't have much to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the Big Brother thing.
Yeah. I've got a few songs, and I want to play you clips, okay? And because I always like funny songs. And this guy does a lot of very unique songs. I'm not going to give it away till I play it.
Okay.
And... but the song that I really like by him, I couldn't find online, so hopefully I'll find it one day. But take a listen to a couple songs. We're not going to play the whole song, but just clips of it.
Who is it?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, I've heard this.
Okay, listen to the words. Listen to the words.
Some people like to eat chocolate cake. Some say their favorite is T-bone steak. But when they ask me what I like the best, I tell them they can keep all the rest. I eat pussy. I eat pussy. It's made of sugar and spice, yeah, and everything nice I eat pussy.
Okay, so you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's kind of salty and it's kind of sweet. It's kind of messy, but it can't be beat. With peanut butter, it's so easy to chew. Sometimes I even use some Cool Whip too. I eat pussy.
You don't like it, huh?
I eat pussy. It's made of sugar and spice.
Okay, I noticed you didn't like it. Okay. What didn't you like about it? Too crude?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try another one. Maybe you like this one better.
Well, every man I know has pussy on his mind. From every foreign land, 8, 9 to 99. And when he tells a woman, "Well, you sure look nice today," well, hold your twat, this is what he really means to say. I'd like to fuck your brains out, don't you know? I'd like to eat your pussy, flip your titties to and fro. Well, you make my body tingle, you make my peter grow. And I'd like to fuck your brains out, don't you know?
Okay, so that's that. Okay.
Have you heard... Okay, well, what's the names of these guys?
Okay,
his
name is Larry Pierce. Now, I have to give credit to Howard Stern because he's the one that discovered him. Okay?
Right.
But he's got some, I think, some of the funniest songs ever. Actually, these are not as funny as what I wanted to play, but I'll find it one day. You know, but check out this one just for a second.
He's real country. What's up with that?
Yeah. But it starts like a serious song.
I met her down at the bar room. I walked up to her and gave her a smile. Said, "Can I buy you a drink? Now, baby, what do you think? And maybe we could go out for a while." Well, the next thing I knew, it was morning. And I woke up with my head on her tits. And when I saw her face, I felt like such a disgrace. I said, "Now listen, honey, this is it. Well, don't tell anybody I fucked you. Well, don't tell them I took you to bed. Well, don't tell anybody
was it
I
one
fucked
of those,
you.
Was it one of those, I'm going to chew my arm off in
something
the morning?"
Like that, something like that, yeah. But but the funny thing is that he sings about things that men think about, you know, and it's funny because it starts like a traditional song, like a normal song,
right.
And then you start having all these words there, you know. But he's got a song called "Would You Swallow My Cum," you know, and it's like it sticks in your brain, the melody of it sticks in your brain forever, you know. So I'll find that one and play that.
Oh, yeah.
You, but
we have a comedian, you know, who sings and writes songs in Australia called Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And that's his title, Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And he comes up with all these different, you know, very painfully, what do you call it, discriminating, obscene music songs and stuff like that, you know. You know, I'll just, like, one of the sentences is like, "Do you fuck on first dates? Does your father own a brewery?" And he goes on about, like, what he requires, you know, on his first date, to be, you know, so he can fuck her on the first date. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I don't do is, there's so many things I want to talk about on the show, as they happen to me or as I see them or experience them.
Yeah.
And one thing I never do is I never write down anything. So then I come here in the morning and all these things I want to talk about are just gone. And I don't know. I mean, I can get a notepad, and yet better, I've got the iPhone and it's as simple as taking it out and writing things down. And I don't. And it really, really bothers me. And I don't know how to overcome that.
Because you got too many other stuff on your mind.
I know. But yet, at the same time, it's like when it happens, you go, "Oh, I'll remember it." And then you don't. My memory sucks, I told you. I don't remember what I did 5 minutes ago, you know.
Have you heard of the songwriter artist Daniel Johnston?
No.
Well, he's an unusual kind of fellow. and he sings comedic, kind of, I don't know if you could call it comedic, but it's very unusual. Yeah. A little bit of background about Daniel Johnston. He's a mentally challenged young man.
Yeah.
But he has this infatuation about his little guitar and his songs. His songs are so bizarre, so way out there.
Yeah.
Half the time he's not in tune and his music is very, very simple because he's mentally challenged.
Yeah.
However, he's become like this massive cult, like throughout the US and other countries and European countries and everything. Well, anyways, he played his first time with the indie rock in Milwaukee,
yeah.
And he lived up to his cult name, and he drew like record numbers,
really?
Just to see him.
Well,
and
he's
an older guy now.
Yeah.
He's a much older guy now. But I think, you know, one song that pops into my mind is his song about walking the cow, and I can't even begin to
sing
it.
Okay, well, you'll have to tell me
about
it, and we'll download the song, and then we can play it here.
Oh yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
He's really, really unusual, very, very different.
Really.
Yeah, but he's huge. He's huge in the cult culture.
Really.
Yeah.
Nice.
I say kudos to him. You know, being, you know, a little bit mentally challenged. Actually, not a little bit, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's see, I'm trying to find something here that I can't find, but I'll find it later. At any rate, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
Alrighty.
For everything that matters.
I'm not European. I don't plan on being European. So who gives a crap if they're socialists? They can be fascist anarchists. It still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car.
And everything that does.
I've been in prison for 3 years. My dick gets hard if the wind blows.
You're listening to the Sam and Manu Show on PBS Talk Radio. Laugh. Cry. Fall asleep. Only with PBS Talk Radio.
Okay, that's right. We're back.
I'm still digging the snoring. Go to sleep.
Yeah, I know. Well, it just came to me. I was in a funny mood, so I thought, yeah, fall asleep if you want, but just stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. So you started telling me about Gary Coleman.
Yeah, old Gary Coleman.
He used to be in the show.
Different Strokes.
Right.
And he hasn't done anything.
No.
Anything at all from then on. He was in rehab, drugs, DUI, you name it.
Yeah, he became like a car salesman
on
TV.
Bankruptcy. No.
Bankruptcy.
Car sales. Yeah. It was about filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, that too.
You know, check.
That too.
Cashing
place.
Yeah, something like that. You need money right now.
Yeah,
you know,
he's desperate.
How funny.
Yeah.
How funny. But anyways, he 5 months ago, he met this young lady called Shannon Price.
Uh-huh.
She's 22 years old, and he's a foot taller than him.
Oh, yeah?
So he's like 4'8", and she is 5'8". And 5 months later, they hitched it in one of the mountains in Nevada. So can you imagine that? And you know what? This is the first time he's ever gotten married. Did you know that? Yeah, this is his very first marriage.
What was her name again?
Shannon Price.
Okay.
She's some white girl, heavyset girl. I don't think she knows.
Really?
I don't think she is anyone.
I'm gonna try. Yeah, there's a picture here. Hold on a second.
There's a picture?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Yeah, she looks so sweet.
Yeah, she's pretty ugly. She's got a red head. And they have a picture of them in their wedding in his suit and her dress.
Yeah.
And he's resting his head practically on her chest, you know. And she's bending over for the picture.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, 22 years old, married to a 40-year-old actor.
Yeah, 22 years old.
You know, I guess when you're famous, you can get just about anybody.
I know. Remember, oh God! What the plane? The plane.
Yeah. Right. Tattoo. His
name is Tattoo. Remember the first woman that he married, that supermodel headed bride that was just like ridiculously tall.
Really? In real life, not on the show.
No. In real life.
Really?
Real life. I mean, it didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was just so ridiculous. I mean, you know, he's the most ugliest looking freaking thing.
Yeah.
And you know, probably wasn't even 4 foot, and he marries this, you know, Ubute supermodel.
Yeah, well, it just shows you that, you know, some women will just sell their soul for anything, you know, just give me some fame.
Could you imagine them having sex?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Gross.
I don't know. She probably hangs him from the ceiling and does him or something.
I don't know. Something would have to come
play
up on
like
that one.
Like midget toss with him, you know.
And
did you ever see people playing midget toss?
No.
Yeah, you pretty much take a midget and you roll him down an oily, greased up, you know, strip of plastic, and like a bowl. It's like you bowl, you know. They
you
put
sir?
Pins at the end. And you bowl with the midget.
No, I'm assuming that these guys are consenting to this, right?
Yeah, yes, they're consenting to this.
Oh, my God.
But they do that. Midget tossing.
You know, I often see through LA casting networks, you know, auditions or castings for midget people, you know, little people.
Yeah.
Actually, they say little people.
Little people, that's what
little
they
people.
Like to call themselves, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Yeah. So, another one, Charlie Sheen's ex, you know, Denise.
Denise Williams.
Denise Williams.
No, is it Williams? No. Denise.
Whatever.
No, Richardson.
Richards.
Denise Richards.
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 It's just Denise Richards, yeah.
That's right, okay.
Well, you know, she obviously didn't do anything. She was actually the first Bond, one of the first sexy Bond girls, or she was a Bond girl.
She was a Bond girl.
Yeah, she
definitely
was.
Not the first.
But that was kind of like the only thing she ever did, right? For the most part?
No, she was in that movie that, I forgot what it was called with, never mind, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I start going like this, and then I just don't remember, you know? And I don't know if it's age or whatever is happening to me, but...
Maybe a little too much smoke?
My memory has never been that great, you know? But, I mean, now it's like, I'm not forgetting a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it was called? Wild Things.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she was with Campbell. Campbell, what was her first name? And
Naomi?
Naomi.
Oh,
Campbell.
Okay.
No, there was... it'll come to me.
Yeah.
But they were... I never saw the movie, but I remember the poster for it. It's like they show them immersed in water and just their eyes are peeking out, you know, and it looked like a pretty sexy picture.
Oh, really?
But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what it was about.
Yeah.
But, so
well,
I know she was in that one. I know she's been in a few other movies, but I think yeah, in
she's,
Bond.
She's not a good actor.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. She hasn't really done anything.
No, she's not. No, nothing. Yeah. She's not done anything substantial.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is what she is doing.
Yeah.
You know, because she's in this big divorce battle with the kids and all that kind of stuff. Well, she's been doing her own reality show. Introducing that's going to be airing, I think, sometime this year.
Uh-huh.
About her private life and her battles and with the divorce with Charlie Sheen.
Really?
So she's really going to fuck him over, I think, opening up a can of worms.
Yeah.
Because she's come up with this reality show.
Yeah, but you know? I mean, why would anybody want to watch her reality show? I mean, what does she do that's interesting, you know?
Absolutely
it's not
nothing.
Like you had Ozzy Osbourne or Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah.
Where those were train wrecks. I mean, it was just fun to watch.
No, I reckon she's doing this to pay back Charlie. Because, you know, he has... like his new show, 2.5 Men. Have you ever seen?
Yes,
you ever watched
I've seen
it?
That. Yeah, it's funny.
I love it.
Yeah,
I think it's a
funny.
Great freaking show.
I like
show.
Charlie Sheen, you know.
And I do too.
Yeah, I think he's like so weird, and the crazy things that he does that I love him for it. You know.
I do too. And he's become so freaking successful about that.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's chewing her fingers to the bone because she's resentful of it.
Yeah,
absolutely resentful of it.
Yeah, I can understand her. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's
so
like
that's her way. That's her way to get back at him.
Why did they split up though? I mean, do you think he was fooling around and stuff? Because he's a womanizer.
So, you know, so. What did she do? Did you see what she did though? She bloody starts banging what's her name's boyfriend, the musician, as soon as she broke up with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. I remember something like that.
Heather Locklear's boyfriend or husband.
Oh,
yeah, it was Heather Locklear's husband.
Richie Sambora?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember something about that.
Yeah. So there was like this massive... And she, Denise, and Heather were best friends. And then when Charlie and Richards got the, you know, was going through this big turmoil and everything like that.
Right.
Then she started going after Heather Locklear's husband.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah. And of course, caused that breakup.
Yeah. Go figure, you know. I mean, there's so many men in the world, and they have to go and take somebody else's,
yeah.
You know. It's just, it's hard to explain, you know. But these people, of course, are crazy. They're not okay.
No, they're not okay.
And we understand what they're doing.
And speaking of not okay people, Lindsay Lohan, this big thing about her going to rehab and getting her shit together and all this kind of stuff. She just got out of rehab, and lo and behold, she's found in a club last night, walking out at 2:15 a.m. in the morning out of the S Bar in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's not surprising.
Like that's
right?
Really great for rehab.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't it seem that all of them are doing this? They go to rehab. It's like this freaking publicity bullshit that's going on.
How long was she in rehab?
I don't know. She's been in and out, and I think this time she was in there for a while.
Yeah, like a month.
You know, something like that. Yeah. And then last night, I think it was last night, she was caught coming out of the S Bar in Hollywood.
Yeah, they're hopeless.
With a bottle of water in her hand, but doesn't mean that, you know, she didn't look too good, let's put it that way.
Really? Yeah. Has anybody seen her drink?
There was no inside information.
Oh.
They just saw her stumbling out.
Yeah. I think we need to start sending our own reporters, you know.
No
we'll build
kidding.
A team, you know. We'll send them on the field, and they'll interview stuff and bring us exclusive news.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll be famous.
Well, I brought you exclusive news one night, seeing Paris Hilton.
That's
at the,
true.
At the Falcon,
that's
the lesbian
true.
Night.
That's true. We're not discounting all the material you're bringing into the show. That's fine. That's
I know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the word is that Britney did get married to that paparazzi dude, Adnan.
Oh, so she married him?
Yeah. She. They
really?
Took off to New Mexico, and the rumor is that they did end up hitching it.
But weren't they fighting the other day? I mean, they were fighting.
Yeah, no, it's just
bullshit. It was over.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what the fuck is going on with these people?
Yeah, well, she's going to dump him one day, and then his ex-wife has already got plans for him.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, she's got good plans for him.
Yeah. She's waiting. She's waiting to get the alimony.
Yeah.
Third party alimony.
I
think it is.
He's gonna pay big time to be with Britney.
And Amy Winehouse, right? Obviously, she's her name's been thrown around everywhere.
Yeah, I never even heard about her before. Until the Grammys and her rehab.
5 of 6 awards.
Yeah.
Right.
That's amazing.
And she wasn't allowed to come to the States to perform live. Because of her drug and rehab situation back in the UK.
Right.
Well, apparently another part of her rehab was to get her her chest rebuilt.
Oh, yeah? Is that what she did in rehab? They have plastic surgeons in rehab.
Must have been, because there's a picture of her when she had absolutely nothing, you know, small boobs.
Right.
And the current picture that they have of her after the show and everything like that.
Yeah.
Her tits are like a double D size. It's like amazing.
Wow.
It's like popping out everywhere.
Yeah, so you go into rehab, you come out with a boob job.
With a boob job.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. I don't know what's happening to this world.
It's a body rehab as well.
What is happening here?
Well, he talk about something stupid. I don't know if anyone's heard of Dane County in the Midwest. I'm not sure exactly where that is.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, the deputy sheriff of Dane County locked himself in prison over the weekend. What a dumbass. Talk about a redneck hick place, right?
How did he lock himself in the prison?
I don't know. It says that...
like he forgot the key?
He forgot the key. And he goes in one of the cells, you know, opens up the door, and there's self-sliding closed, you know, doors.
Yeah.
And, of course, it closed, and we're like, oh, shit, forgot my keys.
Really?
And
that must have been, like, overnight, because they opened those a few times a day. I'm sure that they would have let
them
out.
It was just one of the, you know, like the place. It was only one cell.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It wasn't, like, a big prison or anything like that.
Yeah, like solitary confinement
or
something.
Yeah, so he had to wait until the next sheriff came on duty to get him
Can
out.
Can you imagine shit? And I thought it was bad getting stuck in the elevator.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too. At least it wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
Getting himself locked up in jail. Well, serves himself right. Now he knows what it feels like, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Let him get a taste of it, you know?
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So I think we have our guest probably waiting by now. So,
oh, is it that time already?
Yeah, it's already that time, and we're coming up to the top of the hour. So we'll take a break, play some great music for you, and we'll
And then we shall have a guest when we come back, hopefully, huh?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go and check on that,
Thank you.
Sam, you take it away.
All right, we'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show.
Okay, Manu, we're back.
Sam, what are you trying to do with this song? You're just trying to woo people out there with a Valentine's song already?
Is it a Valentine's song? I don't know. I love Selena and I like this song, so I thought I'd play it. You know? It's a good song, you know? Too bad she didn't last. She was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. She didn't last.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she was killed by a fan.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tragic.
She didn't last. No, it's unfortunate, but it's not funny. What are you laughing about?
She never had the last dance.
Yeah.
Save the last dance
for me. Can you imagine being killed by a fan of yours? I mean, shit, you know, you work hard
for
them.
That would totally suck.
Yeah.
That would totally suck. Yeah. Like that psychiatrist that was killed by his or her client.
Yeah.
Did you hear? Oh, something.
No, I didn't hear about that.
I just saw a brief, line there. Yeah. You know, patient killed their own psychiatrist.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. You know, it's a hazardous job to be a psychiatrist. You're dealing with nutcases, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, you brought our guest in.
Yes.
And we have a guest that has wanted to be here really badly. So, introduce yourself, please. Just get a little closer to the microphone.
So my name is Petra, and that was a nice introduction. She was really eager to be on the radio.
Well, you were. I mean, you were, you know, because we were trying to find an angle for her visit to the show. You know, usually
right.
Like we have someone who writes a book. We have some singers. You know, we've had a lot of different guests.
Yeah.
And so I asked Petra, what would you like to talk about? And there were a million things she wanted to talk about. So I figured, you know what? We'll have her come in. She's probably an interesting person. Let's have her in and see what she wants to talk about.
Welcome to BBS Talk Radio, Petra.
Well, thanks for having me and having the trust.
So, you have an accent. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Germany.
Germany?
And I'm here since 3 years now.
Oh, wow.
3 years?
Yeah.
Well, you're still a little fledgling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, still a baby, as everybody says.
Did you come here to L.A., the first place? To L.A. or was there someone else? Somewhere else?
No, first time I came to Colorado, and that's how I got introduced to the idea to spend some time in the United States. Then I went back to Germany, got the working visa, and that's how I ended up in L.A.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Nice. Yep. So you had a working visa. Did you have anything specific you were coming to do here?
I'm working at a photo agency, and I'm also taking pictures of the red carpet events. And
oh, so you're a photographer.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
they gave you a working visa to take photos?
Yeah.
That's
How
nice.
How cool
huh?
is that?
Yeah. That's very nice.
That's cool.
Well, it's a high demand, you know, all the fashion shots they have to get out, and people are really curious what's going on in Hollywood.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Can I join you one day?
Well, of course you can.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Actually, it's exciting, you know, you're really close to the people,
and
you can yell at them, look over here, look over there, and they actually do what you're saying, so it's cool.
Oh, they do?
Well, they want to have their picture taken, have the most flattering angle, so they turn your way and have the sexy pose and all that. So
have you ever shot Paris Hilton?
No, not Paris Hilton.
No.
Not with a gun, she hasn't.
No.
No. But she's a very good poser, you know.
Yeah.
She's very professional.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She poses like a model. You know,
oh,
I saw her
totally,
the other day.
She knows exactly how to pose.
Yeah,
exactly.
And she poses, and they take those pictures, and they take them, and they take them, you know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, so you're a paparazzi.
No, it's not paparazzi. It's always, they know my name, they know where I'm from, so I have to get an accreditation, so it's not hiding behind the bushes or chasing someone around.
Oh, right.
Cool.
Very legal.
So you're invited pretty much
exactly,
to those things.
Exactly,
Nice. So who did you take pictures of that we know?
Well, it was Nicole Richie, Jessica Simpson, a lot of A-list people. Like Emmy After Party was one of my first events in 2005, and it was pretty exciting. They came in and, oh, there's Jessica, and then you have to make your way through the other photographers and take pictures. So well, it's really interesting. So Russell Crowe, I've seen a lot of people.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Russell Crowe.
Nice. Yeah. Now, do you work for yourself or do you work for a company?
No, it's a photo agency, international photo agency. So we're gonna sell pictures to 30 countries worldwide.
I see.
Oh, I see.
And do you get paid by the picture or by the assignment? How do they compensate?
You can choose. You can either get paid if you sell the picture, and of course it sells several times, you get a better deal. Or if you're a beginner like me, you get the day rate.
I see. Okay. So you get a daily rate pretty
exactly,
much.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And
yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the daily rate?
Well, it's between 100 and 150.
Okay.
Per shoot.
Okay.
So.
That's
okay.
Not bad. I mean, there's a lot of fringe benefits of this job, obviously. I mean, you get to rub elbows with celebrities.
Yeah.
And you get to be where things are happening.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
I would do it for $150
so,
bucks.
Yeah. Were you on the red carpet on the latest awards, the Oscars?
No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't?
No,
okay.
No. I was just editing the pictures in the background.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But so, that sounds like fun, though.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. So where in Germany are you from?
I'm from Stuttgart, the capital of Mercedes-Benz and Porsche.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you drive one?
Oh, no, of course not.
No. You came from there, but you can't afford one.
No. But I was able to drive, you know, test drive while I was there. So my husband works for Daimler Chrysler, or Mercedes, as it's called right now.
Right.
So we always could try and check out the latest cars.
No.
One or 2 hours.
Here in L.A.?
No.
Back in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Is Stuttgart pretty big? Is it a big city?
It's pretty big,
yeah.
So 2 million people, it's considered big.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to go to Germany. I've been in so many places in Europe. Germany is not one of them. And I really like to go, you know, I mean, because I think there's a lot to see.
Yeah, and you can get around by a train, so it's really convenient. And in the south, you have the mountains, and in the north, you have the sea. And
Although, you know what? Taking a train in Germany would kind of make me feel uncomfortable because of all the footage we remember of trains in Germany, you know. I don't mean to touch on that right now, but it's...
You mean the high-speed train who derailed and...
No, that's not.
No,
what
he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm going somewhere. I don't want to go.
But I
there.
Heard about that bullet train. They call it the bullet train?
Yeah.
I see. That is fascinating. That thing just moves.
Yeah.
It's very fast. You can go from the south up to north, which is miles, in less than 6 hours. And
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
it's not so scary.
Amazing.
Yeah. How come we don't have one here, you know? I mean, they have like, they have bullet trains everywhere, like in Japan and you know.
And in Australia, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't understand why we don't have one here. We're really behind on some things, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even on cell phone technology, we're so behind on cell phones. You know, on infrastructure and all the things you can do. I mean, the fact that we still get locked phones when you get a cell phone where you can't really choose, okay, I want this phone, but I want that carrier, for example, you know.
Yeah.
So we're like backwards in a lot of things, you know, and I don't understand why that happens. But so you got an offer to work here when you were in Germany?
Yeah.
Oh, and you couldn't refuse it, so you decided...
Well, I was curious to get out of Germany, and so I thought, okay, well, let's try this for a couple of years. If it doesn't work out, and can always go back, but why not taking a chance? And so, I've never been to L.A. before. I came with my backpack and my suitcase, and it worked out.
Really? The classy story, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So are you here by yourself, or is your husband still back in Germany?
My husband is back in Germany. He tried to stay with me here, but he said, you know, it's too all over the place. I need structure and security. And so he went back. And so we'll see.
It's hard. It's hard to move to a new country, you know.
Yeah.
It's everything's different there.
Yeah. And he said, you know, people are just too superficial, and he had a hard time adapting himself. He's very nice, but very genuine, but just this always being in a rush, so he didn't like it.
No, I know how he feels about that.
Yeah.
So, now, do you have a website or anything that you'd like to promote while you're here?
We have a website, the agency. It's called Picture Perfect Agency, all in one word, .com.
Okay.
And there you can see all the latest celebrities, also from events in Europe. Right now it's the Berlin Film Festival, and we have a lot of coverage from there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so this is a worldwide
agency? Yeah. Yep.
So there's here, and so you would get pictures from Germany as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, wow, that sounds really cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I think photography is really interesting. You
it
know?
Is.
It makes you aware of everything that's happening around you.
Yeah.
You know,
how
long have you been a photographer?
Well, I did it as a hobby in Germany for 10 years, and taking pictures of horses and landscape and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this red carpet and people's photography, it's since 3 years now.
Yeah.
Do
you take do you take any nude pictures?
Only for private occasions.
Oh, I see. Oh, only of yourself and of your partners, I see.
Well, for myself, that would be pretty bad. So.
Okay.
No. That was a great answer, by the way. He caught me off guard with that question, too.
Well, that's what happens when you come to the show, you know.
Exactly.
Our brain is all over the place. So you lived in L.A. for how long?
3 years.
3 years now.
3 years.
It's
going
to be 3 years in April, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it here?
Most of it, except for the traffic. And I don't understand why there's not so many options of having public transportation.
Yeah.
I know. Everyone says that.
Yeah.
Everyone, even compared to other cities. This is the worst public transportation city ever.
Yeah.
Even the subways.
Yeah.
You know, other countries, you know, their subways are underground, above ground, and they take you to every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Possible. I mean, public transportation in every big city in the world is perfect except for here.
Yeah.
Because we have a car culture here, you know, and we have distances.
Yeah.
It's spread out.
Yeah.
And people love their cars. You know, it's like the car you drive is like the clothes you wear.
Oh.
You know, because
because
you don't walk a lot, so people don't really see you. They see the car. That's why we have a lot of nice cars out here.
Okay. You know? But what do they get out of you if they see your car? You have whatever, a gray Honda. What does it say about you? Because you're just passing by.
It says,
no,
you're
poor.
You've
got the gray car, rust on the car.
Yeah. Well, it says pretty much you need a car to get from point A to point B, but it doesn't, you know. But obviously, if you invest in a Mercedes or a Porsche or something, this is like clothing.
Yeah, you know? I know. And it's some people will put themselves in debt, ridiculous debt, just so they could get seen in the car.
Okay.
In the car.
Yeah, that was my assumption. So just, you know, if you're on Sunset Boulevard and there's a photo shoot and people just driving up and down, radio full blast, and you look at them like they're 20-something. They can't afford that car, so probably they're really in debt because they have to have the latest Lexus or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
No, but obviously in Germany, a lot of people drive Mercedes and BMW in that.
Because they work for the company. They get it for cheap.
I see, okay. Are they expensive there, too?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
they are, huh?
Wow. But I mean, if you get a 30 or 35% discount, then you can afford it and you can lease it for 1 year. So it's not a big deal. So.
Yeah, that's nice.
Hmm. Yeah.
We should move to Germany just so I can pay less for my BMW.
Oh.
You know, maybe we'll go work for the factory, you know.
I just like to get a new car.
Yeah. Yeah, my new will take anything.
My pretty poor car. You know, I love her, though.
Yeah, it's a BMW, but
it's an old BMW,
Better days.
It has seen better days.
Huh?
I've always had a really close relationship with my cars, but I'm here since 3 years. I have the fifth car now because they all broke down.
Maybe you should re-examine how you pick cars, you know.
Yeah, I guess I'm not really experienced with that, so.
No, it's just the American car.
Yeah.
They designed everything to break down, so you have to, you know, buy a new one or fix it up or something like that.
Yeah,
That's what I always see.
Yeah.
That's what I've experienced anyway.
Yeah. I always had really badly maintained car, like no oil in it and the engine blew or something. And I was like, oh, what's wrong with my car karma? So probably I picked the wrong car. And they weren't cheap though, so it just never worked out. So knock on wood with this one.
So now, how do you find Americans in general? Like, for example, I know we're pretty tight, uptight here sexually. Do you find that?
Oh, yeah.
As a culture?
Absolutely.
As a society?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how is it in Germany? I mean, do they have like nude people on TV and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
Really?
They do.
But not full nudity, right?
No. But you can see
topless,
like people having sex in the bed, and it's not covered with the sheets.
Really?
Or you don't see the boobs. So.
And this is stuff that goes on the air, right?
Yes.
I mean, not cable
TV
or anything.
TV and in the movie theater.
Regular TV.
Wow.
Exactly.
That is amazing, you know. So why are we like so uptight here, you know? And this is where the so-called sexual revolution started.
Yeah.
You know, and yet we have this. So do people in Germany, for example, view Americans as uptight or conservative?
Really?
Yeah.
The first thing.
It's amazing, you know. I mean, there's some really hardcore porn coming out of Germany. I mean, they have like no holds barred there, you know, and not that I should know, but you know,
I know.
Again,
and
in the age of the internet, we know everything pretty much.
They actually have better looking men.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Compared
in the
to the
porn,
American men.
Yeah,
more, more natural. So,
more,
what do you mean?
Well, more natural. Like the men are a lot more attractive.
Okay.
Yeah, than the American porn men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the American porn men, for some reason, I swear they pulled them out of a cave or something like that. Because
well, it's not based on your looks. You got to be able to. You got to be able to perform. What is happening to this microphone? Oh,
check your mic.
You've got to be able to perform in front of people, in front of the camera.
Yeah,
you know?
So.
And what do you mean so?
What, so a good-looking guy can't perform in front of...
Well, maybe not. Maybe they can't find good ones, you know? I mean, and not everybody's willing to do it either, you know? So,
I've seen some American porn, just to interrupt, I'm sorry, but actually both male and female actors, they were kind of really kind of a turn-off. Like,
yeah.
Too much
totally.
Makeup and, like, very bad acting. I mean, there's not much acting involved, but just like...
yeah.
It was a little strange.
Yeah, I don't know. But today porn is just too mechanic. I like the older stuff from the 70s and stuff. Yeah.
Down,
there
down,
was a lot more
down, ding, down,
a lot
down.
More real, a lot more natural. What was that supposed to mean?
That was the old porn music, you
oh,
know.
Oh, I see. Down,
down.
Manu should know, right? I don't know what porn you were watching in Australia, but they don't go doing doing here.
I'm sure they do.
But isn't it a contradiction? I mean, the porn industry in the Valley, Chatsworth, and somewhere else, they're making twice the amount Hollywood does.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the capital, the porn capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What is?
In the Valley.
In the Valley.
In San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
In
oh,
Chatsworth,
just up
the like
road?
You said.
Chatsworth, yeah.
Van Nuys, you know, North Hollywood. That's where they're mostly located. And they film there, too,
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know, in the Valley. Mm-hmm. And but, yeah, you've got some big-ass companies doing that, so... that's the American porn, yeah, and they just churn those out, you know, and they're all the same, you know.
Yep.
So that's why
you've
you
seen
start
one, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why what the internet introduced more or less is like different fetishes, different niches, you know, within that, so people are attracted to, like, some people want to look at pregnant women, some people want to look at Asians and all that, you know. So it's not that plain vanilla thing, but So the internet has really turned us into perverts, you know. I mean, it's like you sit at home and you can pretty much find anything you want.
Hey, there's a good niche. Why don't you become a photographer on a porn set?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
You know, nobody has invited me so far, but I would sure be interested in it.
Yeah.
Well,
would you do it?
Yeah, I have no problem.
You know
really?
What? As
really?
A matter of fact, I got sent
you know
an
someone.
Email. No, I don't. But I got an email a little while ago about on-set photography on a porn set.
Oh.
And it actually shows really what goes on in mm-hmm. behind the porn
yeah.
thing. And they're talking about, I mean, this is like a upper-class porn video, I mm-hmm. suppose, because the lighting had to be perfect.
Absolutely.
They had filters. They yeah. had makeup artists. They even had... They even had moisture control
really?
person to
yeah, and there's fluffers also. You know what a fluffer is?
Yeah, yes, okay. yeah. And you know, like to dab out the pimples around the area
yeah.
or the shaving rash
job,
or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, let's
they
cover
have it
up
all
the
there.
Pimples on the ass. You
and
know?
And it was all this photography
yeah.
About, you know, all those different things. That'd
well, I think
funny.
It would be really interesting to put this into a coffee table book or something.
Oh yeah.
No kidding, because people think this is the real deal. There's a woman and she's always hot and she's always perfect and there's no stretch mark, no nothing. She doesn't have any ingrown hair or something.
No.
So why not? I mean, just do the opposite side. Say, look, this is the lighting. There's some makeup artist for the pubic hair or something. So
yeah.
why not?
They even had
idea.
A trimmer. They yeah. even had a picture of a guy, you know, trimming up her pubic hair.
Really?
Yeah, just
yeah.
to make it a little bit more photographic. But
yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
something
yeah.
like
some
that.
Jobs that people
yeah.
will get.
Yeah, I know.
I can't believe this.
So where are your intentions? Are you going to stay here for a couple of more years? Is your visa going to allow you to stay here?
Yeah.
Or where do you want to go with this?
Well, right now I have the feeling the opportunities, what I could do with my talents, are more spread open than in Germany. In Germany, you're kind of confined to what you learned or studied, and then
okay.
you keep your job, and there's not so much variety. Like, I always wanted to be on the radio, but I would have to study for 3 years and, you know, like some journalism stuff. And
nah.
Yeah, why not? Just sit here and talk. If people don't like you, they turn it off and say, well, get this woman out of here. So it's not a thing of a degree
that's
or something.
That's usually the way it's done. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
They just don't tell you. They just, you find your ass on the street one day.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so we've had no formal training to be on radio.
No,
yeah.
You don't need.
You know,
yeah.
You don't really need
How did
it,
you find each other? I mean...
On Craigslist.
Yeah.
The infamous Craigslist
and
thing.
Match.com.
Match.com.
So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, now your English is pretty good. When did you start learning English?
You know, I did a 1 year backpacking trip when I was 22 to Australia, New Zealand, Asia, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And there's no
you
other.
And you're Australia. I'm going to beat you over the head with Australia.
It's a great country.
Exactly. It is.
Same with New Zealand.
It is. You know. It is. It is.
One of the friendliest people in the world are in Australia, I have
yeah,
to tell you.
Like, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yep.
But I have to hear about Australia 20 times a day, you know.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm kind of like trying to tone it down.
Well, no, because I'm telling you too what's happening in Australia.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, Manu, you can beat me up after the show. Okay,
yeah.
She looks irritated.
Well, what about Israel?
What
You're
about
from
it?
Israel.
Yeah.
You know, like.
How many times have I brought it up since we started?
Oh, a few times.
A couple times, maybe.
Yeah, a few times.
Okay.
But it's about, like, finding, you know, like, keeping in touch what's happening back home.
Yeah.
You know, you've obviously kept up with what's happening back at home.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to know what's going on back in your hometown.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's happening back in Germany right now then?
Well, everybody complains that they're not making enough money because the government cuts back. Oh, you have to pay more for health insurance, childcare, blah, blah. Things you don't even have over here. So every time I talk to my relatives and friends and they start complaining, I said, you know what? You have paid vacations and you can go to a doctor anytime you want. So please don't complain about it. So
yeah.
Or come over here and see how people are going to deal with their lives over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so your family is all back in Germany still,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you're married, and your husband is back there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
been for how long now?
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
And how long haven't you seen him since last time?
Last time he was here in September, so
September.
It's not that long.
Oh, so he comes
not
and
that
visits
long.
You.
Not that
I mean,
long.
So, and you're going without sex all this time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's the internet. I mean,
yeah.
there are webcams and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Oh, I see. All right. Now we understand.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you were on Skype writing, I mean, you
I
need to get up to date here.
I had cyber sex via Skype.
Okay. Did it work out or did it get interrupted? Usually the quality is really bad.
No. I mean, it was just, typing.
Yeah.
And so we, you know, communicated that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, she didn't do any spreading on the camera or anything.
No.
Yeah. Leave
I
it to your imagination.
I don't think I'd be that daring, actually.
No. Why?
Because I was already embarrassed, like, writing a few things. I'm like,
okay. Oh, you never know where it ends up.
Yeah. You know what? You do it once or twice, you'll get used to it.
Talk
you'll
about
flow
butterflies.
With it.
So you must be used to it now by pitch.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be hard, huh? I mean, the thing is, no pun intended, but... you know, it's got to be difficult, you know, when you're away from someone. Although, I mean, I can see the advantages of it, you know, like you sort of get a break from each other for a while, and then you're really eager to see each other every time you get together, you know. I don't know. I mean, you're okay with that relationship? I mean,
not really. So sooner or later, there has to be a decision.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to go back, and he doesn't want to come here. So,
where do you live here in L.A.?
I live in Topanga, which is halfway between Santa Monica and Malibu.
Okay, and it's a nice area
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, it's up in the mountains, yeah.
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 Oh, you live
oh,
up
wow.
there?
So,
really?
Yeah.
It's beautiful there.
Huh. Because I was just thinking of it, like, environment-wise, you know, what your husband might be used to or where, you know...
That's what he's used to.
An
like
area,
in,
you know.
Yeah.
And he still didn't quite get with it, huh?
No.
He just
no.
can't get used to it, yeah. Mm.
Well, sometimes you have a dream or you think something's right for you and then you're in the middle
yeah.
of it and then you decide, no, it's not. And then it's nobody's to blame that he went back or something.
No,
he
no.
felt bad and he said, oh, my. And I said, oh, well, I was always the more adventurous of the two of us. And
yeah.
maybe I get sick and tired of LA after 5 years and I return. So
yeah.
we'll see.
When's he coming back?
Well, I'm going back in end of May, beginning of June this year.
Right. So it's almost a year, like 10 months.
Yeah, yeah.
That you'll not have seen each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk on the phone all the time?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Several times.
Internet and internet sex and everything.
Do you talk on the phone or do you do via the computer?
Well, it's kind of simultaneously. I talk on the phone, but I see him on the computer. So he
Oh, okay.
On the camera.
Nice. Because you know that you can hook up to Skype. This, I don't know if you've ever heard about Skype.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Yeah, so I talk to my boyfriend over in Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Via Skype all the time.
I just heard the quality is so bad, so it's kind
it
of
can
an echo.
Be. It, no, no, no. They're updating it, updating it all
use?
The time.
What
so.
Do you use?
Just
that?
The regular phone. Like he calls me from Germany.
Right, but the
really
camera.
Cheap.
What do you use for the video?
I guess Yahoo or something like Yahoo
like
video mail. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, at least you get to see each other that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of important.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty much in the same boat right now, man.
Yeah, I am. But he gets back on Friday.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah, my man comes back on Friday, which I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I won't get to pick him up from the airport now.
Yeah. And how long is he going to stay this time?
I don't know. He's got some dealings that he has to handle over there in Ireland because his family is involved with like a classic 600-year-old castle.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so it's a castle ruins. And, of course, it has a manor house on the property and a couple of other houses, or I don't know what they refer them to. And so, you know, there's a lot of upkeep, of obviously, with the property and the castle and everything like that. So he has to go back all the time to help his father.
So, yeah, so you guys are in similar situations. You
know, similar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're really toughing it out.
Yeah.
So do you think you might end up living here in Los Angeles, or do you think you might be going back to Germany? Are your options of career stability is better here versus Germany? I mean, what's the, you know, what's your feeling on that? You know,
well, I always draw the picture in my mind, what would the life be back in Germany? Like being in a condo, being back as the physical therapist, which is my main profession there, treating clients, work a little bit as a personal trainer on the side. It gets boring after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very structured, and most of the German people, they want to have their house and family all set up by the age of 30, and then they're looking, you know, like once a year, taking vacations with the kids, but it's nothing exciting. So I would like to do the backpacking stuff and see the other countries I haven't seen so far and do different things, not just, you know.
I feel that a lot of people from Germany do backpacking lot because we get a lot of people from Germany come down to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
So we get a lot of backpackers there.
And she was to Australia too.
Yeah.
So I guess it's a preferred destination.
Yeah. And then vice versa, Australians go backpacking. I mean, like everywhere you go, you're going to find an Australian or New Zealand. And New Zealander, I suppose.
More Australian people.
More Australian because we get paid holidays.
Yeah.
And we get 4 weeks to 6 weeks.
And
paid
I heard
holiday.
About if you're with the same company for 5 years, you get like 1 or 1.5 months paid vacation, and then you can do.
Oh yeah, up to 8 weeks paid vacation.
Okay. How many did you get in Germany, normally? Like when you first start a job, after a year, how many weeks?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the first
paid.
Year.
Yeah.
Paid.
And
yeah.
Paid too,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm
what
telling you,
wrong?
I told you we're backwards here.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Really not, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of rights compared to other countries, you know.
Yeah,
and,
I think.
I mean, can you imagine a 6 week paid vacation? I mean, you can go around the world twice over and still have time left.
Well, I remember, and I'm pretty sure they do this in Germany too. You know, 6 weeks is an awfully long time. I remember taking 6 weeks vacation. Like, damn, that's too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're just itching to go back to work after three weeks. So what I would do is, like, take two sets of holidays.
Exactly.
One set of holidays I would go,
so you split
you know,
it up,
packing away. Yeah, and you split it up. So you get two vacations a year.
Yeah.
And
nice.
It's awesome.
It is. It is.
And the companies accommodate you for it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, when I got here, I was devastated.
Oh,
does anybody get paid vacations in the United States? Does any company?
I think the most.
Yeah, I mean, all vacations are paid when you take them. When you take what they allot you. So usually it's like 1 week the first year, and maybe 2 weeks the second year, and so forth.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks.
But that's it.
Yeah,
okay.
there's no law you know, that dictates how much you need
but
to give.
But if you are a waitress or bartender or anything like that, you only get paid the minimum wage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's their paid holiday. Yeah. So it's really nothing. And I remember when I first got here to the United States, when I did get that first week paid vacation, which was only like, that was up in Seattle, it was like $9.50. I spent that entire week preparing for interviews to get to another job.
Yeah, well,
that's what I did.
It's a good purpose.
Then I came back, gave 2 weeks' notice, and off I went to the next job and waited another year for vacation. I did that for a while, a couple of years,
Well, we have Petra from Germany here, and is there anything else you want to say to our listeners? Yeah. Do you want to plug your website again?
What's the website again?
It's
PictureperfectAgency.com. Perfect.
Okay. Exactly.
PictureperfectAgency.com.
Yes.
And this microphone is really
I'm going to go and
time.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out. Because you're saying it has pictures from all around the world.
Yeah. And if you're looking, like, say, for Brad Pitt, you just type in Brad Pitt, and then all the pictures who are listed in the archive are going to show up.
Oh, I know what Tiger's going to be typing in.
What's she going to be typing in?
Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
well,
yeah. Is that who she likes?
Yeah, I think
she's the most photographed
woman.
Yeah,
but you look very similar to her. Probably a lot of people. Yeah,
I get told that a lot. particularly when I've done my hair up really nicely, makeup, and I'm dressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, you look like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, my new and Angelina's look-alike.
You know, they did call me up one time to do a double for Angelina.
Really?
For a little stunt work. And so originally I was going to be doing that little bit of stunt work for her as her double. But then she turned out that, she's very capable.
Yeah.
She's very daring. She's very adventurous. And she ended up saying, no, I want to do it. So I got canceled. I still got paid.
Okay.
So she did her own.
Did you see her on set or not at all?
No. I didn't even have to go in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I still got paid.
Oh, nice.
Because they had booked me for it.
Yeah.
You know, so they still have to pay you. If they've booked you for that, they have to pay you regardless. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't go on set. Yeah, I should have, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, Petra, well, we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you
very
much.
Thank you for coming on the show. It's been interesting to get a little perspective from a European as far as to what goes on there, what goes on here, you know, because often we don't know what's going on in other countries, you know.
No, we don't.
We're very self-involved here, you know.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a global perspective sometime, you know.
What would be one of the main things, you know, when you say to someone, oh, I'm from Germany.
Yeah.
What's the first, one of the first questions that are normally asked by an American that is a little ignorant of Germany's culture?
I hate to say it, but several times people said, is your electricity back on after the war right now? No, I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. Actually, it happened 6 times. So all your electricity is back on and you can drive your streets. It's all repaired by now. It wasn't old people, like from the war generation. It was like people my age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the funniest one for us?
Uh-huh.
So do koala bears and kangaroos jump around in the city?
Uh-huh.
You know, of Sydney, you know, because they say, where are you from, right? I say, oh, from Sydney. And Sydney is a massive city.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a massive city. And, of course, people will say to me, you know, like, oh, wow, do you get to see kangaroos and koalas in the city? I'd be like, so do you get grizzly bears up in fucking L.A.?
Yeah. I have to go to the zoo just like everybody else, right?
Well.
All right, Petra, we gotta go. Okay. So thanks again for coming in.
Thank you. It's been
a pleasure.
It's really nice meeting you.
Yeah.
And
good luck to you with the photography and the pictures and seeing your husband again and all that. And I hope you guys work it out somehow where it lasts forever. I like the idea. So, of being apart for a while and then you kind of miss each other and that. But I prefer to have my wife next to me. I had to say that. Anyway, so we'll be right back.
Broadcasting live from high atop the BBS Talk Radio building, you're listening to the Sam and Manu Show. If you're you're not listening to California Dreaming, you're missing out on all the important stuff.
Masturbation is costing society a lot of water. Okay.
What?
Okay.
Where did you get this from?
Okay, you take a shower, you shampoo, you soap yourself, blah, 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 and then you start going at it, right? So what is it, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes? That's a lot of water. I mean, can you imagine how much water is wasted on that? Just imagine how many gallons you think probably go through the shower head in a minute. So I think we're going to have a drought, regardless of whether it rains here or not, because people wasted water masturbating, you know? Do it elsewhere. Don't do it in the shower, okay?
Sam says vote no masturbate in 08. It's California Dreaming. California Dreaming. With your host, Sam and Manu, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Back, Manu.
What an interesting lady.
Yeah, she was
pretty
interesting,
she's
sweet. Yeah. And you see, the thing is, if you know how to do radio, okay, then it doesn't matter who comes in. You can always make conversation and get the best out of them.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, I mean, we went back and forth for like a week or two.
Yeah.
And she constantly wants to come in. She wanted to host a show, I think, also. And then I told her, well, why don't you come in as a guest? And we'll see, you know. And so then I said, well, what angle, you know, and so there wasn't really any, you know, but I felt she really wanted to come on. And I thought, you know what, let's let her come on. I'm sure we're going to find something interesting.
Well, it turned out to be a great conversation, and it was really interesting to, you know someone now that takes photographs of celebrities on the red carpet
and so on.
And then her background is really interesting.
Yep. And again, we forgot to ask someone to take her picture, and she would have been perfect because she's a photographer.
Oh, yeah.
And I keep forgetting. You see, the thing is this, Manu, you have to be the one that remembers on this show, because...
Oh, no. Okay. All right. I'll
do
my
best. Do you have pretty good memory?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good.
Good. So you keep your eyes open, okay?
Okay. What's that actor's name? That black guy? Owen Epp or something like that?
Never heard of
him. Oh, okay. No. Well, he's always been known as the deer in the headlights because his eyes are so big and bulgy, you know, that he always looks like he's like staring into the headlights, you know. And so every photograph you see of him, they always mention deer in the headlights.
It's like, wow.
What a great reputation to have on that one.
There's something interesting here on the internet, and that is... well, there's a couple things. The first one is Steven Spielberg, exits as Olympics advisor. I guess he was the artistic advisor for the upcoming Summer Olympics in Beijing. And he decided to pull out of that position, citing the host country's inadequate response to the crisis in Darfur. So he's bringing in some consciousness, I guess, into what's going on there. But, you know, all these celebrities, you know, making these decisions to make statements about things is, you know, I mean, give me a break, you know. You're already signed up as the advisor, you know. One thing doesn't have to do with the other. He feels China is not doing enough. Well, you know, a lot of countries are not doing enough.
No.
But I guess he was criticized by Mia Farrow
because of that. Really?
Yeah, Spielberg was, you know, given that China continues to do business with the Sudan despite its failure to put an end to the crisis in Darfur. So it's it's a whole complicated thing, and then they go in and start making it. To me, it's trivial when he does that, you know. I mean, in his position, he can bring attention to it, but, you know, it's just pulling
out. But
he
will never be the solution.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the thing is that, you know, we take people here in our culture, we take people that are famous, and we turn them into demigods, you know. I mean, what, you know, think about it. When you hear a statement or a comment from a celebrity, nothing makes them more qualified to make that statement than you or me. We tend to like want to know, well, what does he say about this and what does he say about that, and I don't really care, you know. It's just their opinion, and just because they're famous doesn't make him an expert in other fields,
right?
You know.
No, I agree.
So So I mean, I like Spielberg's movies, but I think.
Then how do you feel about George Clooney then? Because he gets right up there in politics
too. Yeah, he does, and that's another thing, you know. I mean, you're a fucking actor, you know. What do you know about politics? Not any more than I do. Now, if they're willing to do all kinds of like commendable things, you know, in charity or bring attention to something that's happening, that's great, you know. But as far as supporting a political candidate, I don't care. You know, yeah. It doesn't really matter what celebrity backs what candidate.
Right.
You know, so.
No, it doesn't. I just know that he's very strongly supports Obama, so.
Yeah.
You know, that was out in the news in public. And he's, you know, he stands by him too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was it? Who was it that stood beside Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
Who was he standing behind?
I don't remember. I think McCain. Is it possible?
Was it McCain?
Maybe McCain, I don't know. But what's he doing there, you know? Well, we got a phone call. Let's see who was on the air.
Oh yeah.
Good morning. You're on the air on the Sam and Manu Show.
Morning, Sam and Manu. Greg in Cleveland.
Oh, hi, Greg.
Greg,
how
again.
Are you?
Our barbecue
good,
man.
And the voice of all our little dings and dongs.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely love, by the way.
Yeah. All our promos and bumpers and stuff Greg did for us over the weekend, over a short period of time, and we're extremely grateful to you.
Most certainly. You should be out here doing that voiceover stuff for radio.
Yeah. Believe me, I'm sure he'd come to LA right now since all the action of BBS Talk Radio is happening here, and he really seemed to embrace us, and that's amazing, Greg. We have to thank you for that.
And I'm all left out here by myself in the cold in Cleveland.
I know. How cold is it? How cold is it today?
Today, ambient temperature is 10 degrees.
Wow. Manu?
Ew.
Could you live in 10 degrees?
Hell
Manu?
No.
And that's
no.
Just regular air. Once the wind blows, it drops down.
It gets chillier.
Like, you know, one or two.
Yeah. They had a big snowstorm out there, didn't they?
Yeah, we had a pretty big storm 2 nights ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
And,
I heard about that.
You know, I have to say, Manu, that you are sitting next to a man who has really a bank full of patience. And he's a class act and a quality individual, and he has been putting up with my, I don't even know what to call it, my obsessive compulsive disorder, I guess.
We have a name for everything
today,
Greg.
Better than most people do,
yeah.
For sure.
No, I mean, look, you're a perfectionist, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, I'm a perfectionist as well. And to be honest with you, I'm no patient person. I mean, one of my strong points. My weakest point is definitely patience. I'm not patient at all. But you know, I'm having to learn how to become that if I want this to be successful. So
you should. You should have seen him yesterday morning when we were having trouble with technology.
Yeah, there was no patience there. Let me tell you, I almost threw the computer out the window.
Yeah, he probably looked like me last night after I got off the phone with Sam. I'm looking at my computer and wondering why, you know, can't connect to this thing we're trying to do for our connection into the show on Thursday. And it's just not working, and I've been posting messages on my barbecue farm to get people to do it, and they're all writing back, works fine, works fine, works fine, works fine. And the only person that I need it to work fine for can't get it to work.
Exactly, and I tried it
in
two
it
different...
I have it in my hands, and I'm getting ready to throw it out of my, throw it out of my house, but...
On three different computers I tried it, but so I think it's a Vista issue, I really do, you know. And but we'll see how we can work it out somehow. But we'll work it out, Greg.
I wanted to call. I actually wanted to make a point.
Okay.
You guys were talking about how celebrities become these demigods, or how I think you were saying George Clooney has views on politics.
Yeah.
And I can't speak for other countries because I've never been west of Fort Wayne, Indiana, but... At least in our culture, if you're a celebrity, and whether it be through acting or sports guys tend to get it a lot,
yeah,
you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you have an opinion and you express it about politics or about a particular racial group being mistreated or whatever the case is, then you know, you're considered to be somebody that has a strong mind is, you know, you're an actor, you should just be an actor, shut up.
Yeah.
On the different side of the token, you have guys, especially Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods, have been probably the most talked about, or people that should be they're criticized because they don't step up and have an opinion about anything.
Oh.
So I think, you know, in order to be fair, whether it just be our society here in the States or not, if you have an opinion, you're chastised, and if you don't, you're chastised.
Yeah, yeah, you've got a point there, Greg. You really do. And, you know, but the thing is that you also have, I mean, if you listen to someone who is a celebrity, okay, so you listen out of curiosity, but just because they're famous does not make them an expert in a certain area. Yes, you can ask for their opinion. And that's fine, you know, but sometimes they seem to be like they have the attitude of holier than thou, you know, and that's what gets to me sometimes.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's obvious that George Clooney, he's been known for a lot of years being involved in politics, and he has very strong point of views with politics, and I think he certainly keeps himself updated with what's going on. I also know that he doesn't like the way George Bush is running the country either, and he's stood up and he has said the reasons why, and he's stood up and he's backed it up as well. So I mean, he's certainly someone that you know, I would certainly look towards of being a notable person to have a view about, you know, raising an issue via politics.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's also not to say that they don't know what they're talking about. I'm just saying we got to take it with a grain of salt. Greg, what's the plans for tomorrow? You ready for tomorrow's show? I guess you're not yet until we work out this little problem, right?
No, I mean, we're ready to connect like we did last week. You know, it's not an issue. And then as far as show content goes, we'll briefly re-go over what barbecue versus grilling is because we had a little server review at the end of last week.
Yeah, yes.
And luckily that happened because Johnny Dam and his regular co-host that he has on the television show, and I can't remember her name right now.
On the television show or on the radio show?
No, she has been on the radio show once, but I guess she is the regular TV co-host.
Oh, okay.
The Wolf.
Johnny Coyote? Yeah, Johnny Coyote.
And, Johnny.
It seemed like they both went out of their way to talk about exactly what my pet peeve is. You know, Johnny said that he was going to barbecue steaks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bluntly wrong in barbecuees.
Oh, so you grill a steak.
Yeah, exactly. So, and his co-host said something even more raucous. I have clips of that I'll be playing tomorrow, and then I have an interview with a charcoal company guy, and then we'll get into my recommendations for people to buy grills and smokers if that's what they're looking to get into.
Yeah. So now that's interesting. So, I mean, I'm going to listen tomorrow and really find out once and for all what the difference is. But let me ask you this. Does barbecuing have to do with the fact that you're using a barbecue sauce?
Oh, what?
That's exactly the clip that I pulled off of the show. No, that barbecue has nothing to do with sauce.
Okay, good.
Nothing to do with it.
The way you cook it and the temperatures you cook it and the method that you use, it has nothing to do with sauce.
Okay.
Well, you know, Greg, when summer comes around, my apartment complex, I have counted 1, 2, 3, or at least 6 barbecues. Right,
yeah.
And there's only one gas barbecue that is around my apartment complex.
Wow.
And seriously,
there's only one what?
One gas barbecue, and they all
one that runs on gas. Yeah,
only one that runs on gas. All the rest are charcoal, the charcoal portable barbecues.
Right.
And every year our complex is something unusual about our complex, but everyone gets together and we start barbecuing. And there's always this big issue about charcoal and pouring that horrible lighter fluid stuff on the stuff.
Oh, my God. That's another thing that I need to address. I'll write that down in my notes.
Please do. Because
lighter fluid is devil's piss. I mean, you should just throw it in the I have no idea why anybody continues to use that. There are accessories out there
called
the charcoal chimney.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is crumple up 2 pieces of newspaper underneath it and light it, and you're ready to go within 10 or 15 minutes, and you don't have to dump that horrible
infestation. It's poison.
And I'm also looking for the best charcoal you can buy, you know, not to have, you know, your meat tasting like charcoal or that lighter fluid shit.
Yeah. Well,
the devil's piss.
Bad news altogether.
Yeah. Oh, what? What'd you say?
The lighter fluid is bad news altogether.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But
obviously...
Can, I think there's the guy that I'm going to have on tomorrow. I believe his product is available in California. I don't know exactly, you know, where in the state. But he has a great product. It's all natural, and it comes in a couple different forms. It comes in lump charcoal, which looks like, you know, if you go to a burnt down house.
All right.
You
yeah.
find the wood kind of charred. That's lump charcoal, and then he also has a lump briquette, which is a lump properties, but it has the burning profiles of a briquette, like you would find like a Kingsford briquette.
Right, right. Okay, okay. See, I'm...
I can see I've lost interest because I've gotten too intricate.
No. You didn't lose any interest. In fact, I never knew there's so much to talk about regarding barbecue, but now that I'm thinking about it, there's like... it's a whole thing, you know?
I mean, love barbecue.
Yeah, I know, I do, but you never really think about it. Well, I just know that, you know, when I cook the meat, I tend to cook it pretty well. I mean, I'm sure next to Greg, I'm nothing. But the thing is, compared to other people who leave the meat up there for hours, you know, and it dries and it gets hard. And you know, I mean, I just like, I like to get it really hot, stick the meat in, you know, let it cook quickly and get it out, you know.
Right.
So and it takes it all juicy and stuff. So
is there anything like in charcoal that can give that like a wood chip smoked effect, you know, like smoked salmon
thing?
Or a mesquite or something like that.
You
know,
yeah,
like
you can. Probably the easiest way, if you're using a grill and you want to impart smoked flavor, is you can get wood chips, soak them in water for about an hour prior to using them, and then put them in a aluminum, you know, make an aluminum pouch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Stick the water or stick the wood chips in there, and then take a fork and poke holes in it. Throw the aluminum pot on the fire when it starts to smoke. Then go ahead and put your meat on, and you get wood smoke imparted in your meat.
I know who's going to be the best barbecuer this summer.
Yeah. I'm going to be calling to the show tomorrow. I'll definitely be listening. But one last thing, Greg. So how does it work with barbecue and where you live in such cold climate? Do you not barbecue for a few months during the year?
No, actually. Probably the biggest misconception about barbecue and grilling is the fact that people talk it about it like it's in seasons, and
right.
I know a lot of people, you know, only do it maybe from spring to fall, but for me it's year round. It's two or three times a week when it gets, you know, weather like we're having now. You know, I'll get a shovel out and shovel off the deck and get to the grills and to the smokers to make ribs or pulled pork or whatever.
So you freeze
but in the
your ass off.
I'm outside, you know, six nights a week.
Yeah.
So you freeze your ass off just to say you can still barbecue?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, part of the element that you have to put up with here. And, you know, it's well worth it in the end product for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, great.
No, I love barbecue.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You're making me hungry now.
Yeah, I'm hungry too.
Greg, thanks so much for calling, man. Always happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely try to get the show working for you before tomorrow, one way or another. It's going to run and from beginning to end, and I know it's going to be as awesome as only you can do it, Greg. So take good care, and it's always a pleasure, man.
All right, have a great show, guys.
You
okay,
too.
Thanks. So that was Greg, and always fun to talk to him. He's such a nice guy, you know. I mean, he's just amazing, you know. And I'm not saying that because he says nice things about me, you know. It's just I can't describe to you, ever since I got involved with this, with the radio, that there's been so much love in the air, you know. It's like everybody's telling me all these great things about myself that I never knew. And I'm loving a lot of people because they're putting in a lot of effort and of themselves to the station.
Right.
And there's just, you know, there's just this camaraderie, you know, and especially with Greg, and since he doesn't even know what we look like other than in our pictures.
In pictures, yeah.
Yeah. And he has this sense of closeness, and I do towards him as well, you know. So it's amazing how sometimes things just turn out, you know.
You have a new friend, Sam.
I have a new friend in Cleveland.
Lovers in the air.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this teacher that the duct taped the student to the desk?
I heard about that.
What did you hear?
You know what? That's actually happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, when I read that, I was like, oh, I remember that happening to me. But I didn't read the article, so I don't know the full insight story of that particular article.
Yeah.
But But the first thing that happened to me is like, oh yeah, I remember. His name was Mr. Smith.
Yeah, and what did he do? He actually duct taped you?
You know what the bastard did? He actually duct taped me to the swivel blackboard, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like duct taped to the board.
And how old were you?
I was about, I think I was like 9 or 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. He hated me.
Really?
He hated me
That's
so badly.
That's fucking traumatic for
a yeah.
kid.
So yeah, he taped me to the
Was
to
he
the
punishing you for something?
Yeah,
for
he
behavior?
Was. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He blamed me for doing something the day before, and I wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I wasn't even there that day. Really? And I came into class, and he just hated me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, that's terrible when you don't get along with the teacher.
As soon as I left, he started picking on someone else, so yeah. It was all him.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know when we were kids, teachers were just crazy. I'll never forget that time. I must have been in maybe sixth grade, and this teacher, this math teacher, she was always like mad and angry and the whole world, you know. And you know how sometimes in class you just have the lazy people that don't do their
right.
homework. They get
right.
an F on every exam and that. And so she didn't like one of those guys, right? And because he was never prepared, he just seemed stupid and lazy. And I remember at the time she just took his desk and pushed it against him, you know,
yeah.
against his stomach, and just pushed the desk against him. And I remember this to this day. I'm thinking, what the fuck? You know, I mean, she'd be put in prison today. She really would.
Yeah.
But in this story here, apparently the teacher was just trying to be funny, and apparently the whole class was laughing. Even the kid that was duct taped was laughing, and she's trying to explain that, hey, it wasn't a big deal, you know. And you know, you just don't fucking do that.
Right.
To get a laugh from these students, you know? I mean, when I was a teacher, I'd sometimes be very tempted to crack a joke or something. But every time I did, they'd go like, ooh, you know, like I said something that I wasn't supposed to say.
Right.
And after a certain point, I just said, you know what? I'm going to get in trouble for opening my mouth. So I just
yeah.
stuck to the agenda.
Yeah, because all it takes is one student to go home like, ha, ha,
oh, yeah,
this
and
is what
have.
Happened.
Yeah.
And even though it was so funny, so to speak,
yeah.
you know, then that parent goes like, oh my God, that should never have happened.
Yeah, and,
you know?
And it has happened, you know.
Yeah, see.
So it's you know.
Yeah, but the teachers don't have any, they don't really have a role these days, you
no.
know, with children.
Yeah, like I told you, only
it's
as
out
a
of
policeman.
Control.
Yeah.
When I went to school, I grew up in a convent. Do you know what a convent is?
Of course. I
okay,
never knew.
Yeah, Catholic, yeah.
Really?
That's how I grew up. And I'm serious. I mean, these nuns, we had nuns and brothers teaching us. And they were the worst evil people. I'm serious.
They usually
like,
are. I mean,
they're supposed to be the people of God, you
yeah.
know, and love and all this sort of crap. And I'm serious. They were the worst.
Yeah. Well,
I used to get caned every single day. I even got locked up in a cupboard for breaking a branch off a tree.
Yeah.
You know, I was swinging on it,
uh-huh.
and I broke it by accident.
Yeah.
I was like a little girl, right?
Yeah.
No kidding, the nun ran on over, she caned me, whipped my ass. She took me to the monastery where they live, and she locked me up
yeah.
in the cupboard underneath the stairs for
yeah.
the rest of the day.
I know, that's unbelievable child abuse, you know? And just imagine, if you were that sexually frustrated, you'd probably be that angry too, you know? It's just that's the way things are, you know?
I know. I mean, they did some horrible stuff. Not just to me. Unfortunately, I was one of the ones that got picked on
yeah.
when I moved to the next classroom,
yeah.
you know? And, you know, Mr. Smith, he was the only civilian type dude. He was the
uh-huh.
headmaster.
Yeah.
He was the only non-religious person, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
But he was evil.
Yeah.
And they were all evil. All of them. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine as a kid you'd see them that way, you know. I mean, because I think there's a lot of this kind of abuse going on in the world, you know, in convents and
yeah.
and those religious institutions and that, you know. I mean, there's just, it's obviously not a surprise or news that we have priests abusing kids all the time.
No,
you know.
No.
So and again, sexual frustration. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what I believe it is. You know, you go to all these Islamic countries. You let them have porn. I'm telling you, all the wars are going to be over.
It's all over religion.
In an instant. You know? I mean, you know, think about it. You know,
Oh, it's true. It's true. I mean, I know of a priest, you know, the college that my brothers went to. There was a priest there that was molesting boys.
Yeah.
And he just disappeared. Nothing happened to him. Yeah. He just disappeared, you know.
Yeah, these people are stuck in the past somehow, you know.
Yeah,
big trauma to do that. You know, to do that. And that's the thing. I think they're hungry for sex. They know they can't do it with adults, so they just take advantage of a kid, you know, frighten them, you know, put the fear of God into them.
It's easy to do that.
Yeah, it's easy, you know, and kids are impressionable.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that note,
we are coming to an end of the show.
Are we concluding?
We are concluding.
We've got more guests for you this week, next week, and the weeks beyond. We're always trying to bring some interesting people in here. And perhaps one day we'll have one of the presidential candidates here on the show. But for now, we'll just suffice in speaking about them.
Let's get Obama in here.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? I'd
really like it. Yeah, that'd be nice, huh?
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, we will.
All right, everyone.
So you take care.
I will.
Good luck with the new job.
And everyone hang in there with this LA weird weather that's happening right now.
Yeah,
downtown it's like we're Los inside, Angeles.
We're inside a cloud.
We're inside a cloud.
Yeah.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. sharp.
See you then.
Bye.